Thanks to the people who are resolutely independent while helping us produce this show: senior producer Gary Niederhoff, operations manager Barbara Vance, reporter Emma Bentley, and intern Sarah McQuaid.
Thanks also to financial support from Rena Shulsky David and Sammy David, and to the William K. Bose Jr. Foundation. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, a nonprofit scientific and education organization whose scientists study the origin and nature of life, including investigating the geologic history of Mars. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to DIY spaceflight. If you'd like to hear more Big Picture Science episodes, well, you'll find them in our archive at bigpicturescience.org.
And if you're a podcast listener but prefer listening to over-the-air radio because there's no internet in space, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, we'll consider letting them know you like the show.
There's no internet in space for now. That could be the next big frontier. And if you like listening to our show and you do so via iTunes, we invite you to leave a review on our iTunes page, and you can reach us directly with your comments. Just throw in some faint praise and email it all to bigpicturescience@seti.org.
Can be dancing with Daddy G every Tuesday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Malt Shop, right here on WHFR.FM. The jukebox will be spinning the platters from the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and join me, Daddy G, at the Malt Shop on Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Be there. Or be square.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio. Impact Fourth Tuesday. Every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m., meet people who are about making a difference in your community. Our programs are designed to be a catalyst that helps nonprofits and other community organizations get the word out to you and help them to reach their goals and potential in serving others. Listen to Impact every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m. and see who is making a difference. The following is a pre-recorded program and does not necessarily reflect the views of WHFR staff members or Henry Ford College staff and members. Today, we will be learning more about the Downtown Development Authority of West Dearborn. Before we get into the interview, I want to give you an overview of what a Downtown Development Authority is. In the early 2000s, a Development Act was initiated to help revitalize downtown areas. The act allowed for a designated sum of tax revenues from the downtown areas to be used to help improve the downtown. By a resolution, the downtown areas would create a development authority to administrate. Any village, township, or city is eligible to receive these monies. The monies would be applied to promote the growth of the downtown for public use. Dearborn has two downtown development authorities, East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority and West Dearborn Downtown Development Authority. In 2016, the Detroit Free Press featured the West Downtown Development Authority. In the article, they indicated and summarized the key points of West Dearborn Downtown Development as 1. 15 new businesses opened in 2015. 2. A Ford land project purchased nearly two whole blocks of West Downtown Development. 3. The Ford would be building a new retail and office space on this two-block area. 4. Some 600 to 650 Ford workers would be placed in those office space. 5, 42 residential lots would hit the market by early 2017 in West Downtown. 6, 2,000 Ford employees would go into the former Lord and Taylor of the Fairlane Town Center. At that time, the Free Press also reported that, according to Christine Shepherd DeCius, the executive director of the West Dearborn Downtown Development Authority, quote, "The Ford two-block redevelopment project is a game changer for any downtown. Downtown Dearborn is going to be that next downtown that everybody is talking about," unquote. And now our interview. Now, welcome to Impact. This is Betty Daniels from the Fourth Tuesday Impact. And in our studio, we have a representative from West Dearborn Downtown Development. And I would like for you to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Christina Shepherd DeCius. I am the Downtown Dearborn and West DDA Executive Director.
All right. And as we were getting ready to get the show started, and Christine had just, Christina, correct?
Correct.
Okay. She was sharing with that that you hold two hats. Is that it? Or just describe your position, please.
Sure. Yes, it is kind of like holding two hats. But I was brought on in Dearborn to focus on bringing both East and West DDA and the downtowns together, working collaboratively. And so I serve in that role, but then I also serve as specifically the West DDA Executive Director, assisting them with all their administrative, with their business recruitment, retention, as well as marketing and promotions.
Okay, now, for those, we have some listeners who are not local Dearborn residents, okay. What is East Downtown? What is West Downtown? And how does East and West meet?
That's a great question, because there are so many people that actually outside of Dearborn always ask that. They're amazed that there's actually two downtowns. They don't know this. They just know Dearborn, right? And I think that's one of the things that as I came on board and having conversations with the community, that I really found that that was something that we needed to kind of bring to the forefront, and why it was also really important that we start marketing ourselves as Downtown Dearborn.
All right. Now, is this something that has been growing, or I know you must have had some growing pains in getting all this together?
Yeah, no, definitely. This is something that has been growing. I've been on for a little over 2 years now, almost 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. To answer your earlier question, the DDAs, Downtown Development Authorities, those are entities that are focused on the revitalization of their respective downtown district. Okay. A DDA is set by the city through a state enabling act and law, and they set a specific boundary area. Right. So at that time, this was many years ago, way back in the probably late 70s, all early right. 80s,
yes.
Where they set the districts, and we had two downtown areas because of how Dearborn really came together history.
Yes, okay. We've had Mr. Bewick on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and
yep.
So he gave us some of the history, but it's been a little while. So it really has evolved quite a bit, hasn't it?
It has, and I think that as a community, everybody's kind of having that same conversation that, we're all one Dearborn. Mm-hmm. We have great distinctions in each district, mm-hmm. and we want to really make those shine. Mm-hmm. But we also want to make sure that, everyone, including folks that live and work in Dearborn, but also those who are visitors to Dearborn, really understand that we have these different districts, but we're all one, and mm-hmm. there's like these great things that make up what we are as Dearborn.
Well, and it's like downtown. Well, okay, the Downtown Dearborn, as you say, two entities. Okay, mm-hmm. but it's two parts of a whole. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, all right. And I we were talking with East Dearborn, and I'll talk about that. We had the art space. What's kind of your claim to fame with the West Dearborn?
We're the West Downtown. Mm-hmm. We're more focused on entertainment and tourism.
Okay.
And I would say that is because of the proximity to some of the assets that that are within that area, as well as what we've been known for is having, you know, great places to go out and dine and hang out at night, as well as really for the workforce that is here in town, for Ford Motor Company and even Beaumont Health and some of those larger corporations that are in the community. It's a place that they go to for, you know, lunchtime breaks. And the proximity to the Henry Ford and some of our other great historic assets that we have here really, I think, allows for the West downtown to be more geared towards entertainment and tourism as well.
And that's really what kind of makes your, that's like I say, your claim to fame.
Yes.
All right. It's a whole almost, I'll use the word Greenwich Village, but you're really, really more distinct than that. You're really starting a whole new entity, which is part of the draw for you. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I think as we really rebrand downtown Dearborn and make sure that everybody understands what you can find in both East and West downtown, that we, you know, provide that distinction so people gravitate to the things that they generally like, but also hopefully explore the things that they might not be as familiar with when they're here as well, especially our students too.
All right, now I was looking at your website, and you've got, there was a number of different things going on, and it was kind of, as I go to each one of them, there was like a whole bunch of information. There's a whole development thing, which you said with the Ford enterprise, and can you describe that a little bit?
Sure. Ford Land has bought and controlled almost two blocks of downtown West Dearborn in conjunction in partnership with the city of Dearborn and also with the support of the West DDA and our brownfield authorities. We are really working with them to help them achieve their goals, but it also achieves our goals as well as a downtown, where we really want to be a place for the future generations, that next generation of entrepreneurs, the next generation of really professionals in the field, as well as providing a place where people can live and work right in their own downtown. Their development specifically, though, is very significant. With that two-block area, it's going to be a three-story development within those two blocks, bringing in over 600 employees right into the downtown area from Ford Motor Company. The main floor of it will be commercial space. We're looking to recruit some restaurants and retail businesses and service businesses that really help to, you know, bolster our business mix in the downtown, but also really support the mix of what they would need for those employees that are going to be literally right above.
Okay, now we're talking quite a bit about the commercial, the entertainment part. What about the residents and how is that pulled in together?
Well, and because downtown West Dearborn is situated, you know, right near a lot of historic neighborhoods and very active neighborhoods, you know, we're creating an environment that becomes much more walkable and a place that they want to walk to and find places to go out to eat or go out and shop. But also for the downtown specifically proper, we'll be looking at some other property development areas where we want to have a mix of housing and really providing kind of what's a gap in the community in the sense of you want that market rate rent or and not the current rates of the market at the moment, right?
So, do you want Manhattan or
right? So, and we already do have some developments underway right above West Village Commons, which
now, give us some street markers.
I was going to do that. So Michigan Avenue and between Howard Street and Military, basically. And West Village Commons, I think what most people would recognize, especially hopefully some of our students have been there, is Common Grace Coffee Company, as well as Bar Louie is there on the corner. So right above that, we have approximately 40 units of residential living that are currently being built out.
Okay, now Dearborn has a unique location kind of a thing where you're boarding different communities. Detroit being on one part of it, mm-hmm. but then you have other areas, which really kind of makes you like the cog in the wheel almost. Is that unique, and how are you, you know, building on that, or is it something that's I just come out of the top of my head?
Yeah, you know, Dearborn is really, it's the eighth largest city in the mm-hmm. state of Michigan. We mm-hmm. have almost 100,000 residents.
Right.
So we're significant in and of ourselves.
Right.
And I think that, you know, adds to the dynamic of why we have two downtowns. We also have two other corridor districts that are neighborhood districts with Warren and the Dix Ferner area. And being so close to Detroit, we're only, you know, really, we border Detroit, right. but we are, in terms of getting to downtown Detroit, we're only about 5 miles away.
Right.
And an easy drive or commute, even a bike ride,
yeah.
to get there. And I think that, you know, as Dearborn continues to work towards the future and grow what we're doing, and what Detroit has been doing is really to make sure that people are aware that we are in such close proximity, but also we're in great proximity to the airport as
right.
well. So
right.
we're kind
right.
of sandwiched right in between, yeah. in between. And then also we have the train station, which makes for commuting and the future of rail, which is going to be very exciting.
Yes.
You know, makes Dearborn that much more attractive.
All right. It's almost like you become a boutique city.
Yes. we're a great little stop. Mm-hmm. you know, along the way, or mm-hmm. we're hopefully a final destination for many, especially when you think that with the train station, folks who might be coming in from Chicago for the weekend
yes.
To go to the Henry Ford or the Henry Ford Estate or
yes.
some of the other great
yes.
assets that we have
yes.
here, the Arab American Museum, they can easily get to the train, get right off and get right over to those assets.
Which kind of goes back to when you said tourism,
mm-hmm.
all right, that bordering Detroit, this is something that, you know, is a tourism attraction. People from Detroit, you know, and the distinctiveness of your population and stuff. So it sounds like you're really just at a prime place at a prime time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what's great about Dearborn is really the diversity that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something that, you know, I think we are known for, but also I think we want folks to truly understand the wide diversity that we have and
right.
the offerings mm-hmm. that are here,
mm-hmm.
A mix of cultures and art. And you know, it goes beyond, in terms of diversity, it goes beyond what would be, you know, typically, you know, at the surface, goes into kind of the social structure mm-hmm. too. And knowing that we have students that live and or commute into town as well,
mm-hmm.
Really makes up a great part of that as
okay.
well.
And although we are with Henry Ford College, we are boarding right now this U of M, so there's
mm-hmm.
different colleges that are a student community that's developing things
mm-hmm.
like that. Has the move of the City Hall impacted you, and if so, how?
It hasn't impacted me specifically or our DDAs.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, I started after they actually moved.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I don't know anything but the administrative center.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the nice things that I find with the administrative center is that really you can get everything that you need done
okay.
right there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what was really important is the fact that they were able, as a city, to utilize the former City Hall space into an amazing rehabilitation,
mm-hmm.
As well as a adaptive reuse.
Right.
And those are kind of technical terms a little bit, but, you know, an adaptive reuse, meaning that, you know, it used to always be offices.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take an old building and change the use of what is in there right now,
mm-hmm.
Or from what it was, then you've really adapted that building for that use.
Okay.
And with art space going into that, it's an amazing project,
mm-hmm.
and really it's a community now, a community filled with artists. Right. And I think for, you know, the administrative center is really recognizing and appreciating the fact that we've now nurtured and grown a new economy there.
All right.
For the West Downtown, we don't have a technical office in the downtown area just yet. Yeah. I'm kind of an office on wheels is really what it is. So I have learned to be very mobile.
I was talking about the growth pains.
If you saw my car, you would understand that, you know, I live out of my car half the time.
All right, now something came up to me, and when you were describing your two hats and things, who does, or who, what entity do you answer to? Who is your...
So I answer to the board of directors,
All right.
But I also have a direct relationship with the economic, community and economic development department at the city as well.
Okay.
So, and it's understanding, it's also understanding DDAs too. Mm-hmm. DDAs, because they are enabled by a state law, but they are actually set up as a separate authority.
Okay.
They are quasi-governmental.
Right.
And we are part of the city, but via tax ID.
Mm-hmm.
And because they created us, and they're also helping us with our financial administration, that type of thing. Typically, DDAs have the option of being completely a tax ID body separate from the city, or they can be with it. And that's really how... you know, a lot of DDAs, you know, look at, well, which way should we go? And I think it really depends on the relationship with your own city and your boards. And this is what I would say. These are some of the best relationships I've seen between DDA boards and city departments, where we really all work together. And it allows us to do our job a lot easier in terms of economic development for the downtown and stay focused on those things, but also to still be beholden to the businesses and the property owners that really make up the district and what their needs are.
Well, then therefore, excuse me, your size is an advantage. By you not being so large, then you can have that kind of networking and interaction and that get caught up in a lot of sub-departments.
Correct. You know, and I think that's a great point to bring up, because that is why downtowns do generally kind of take off marketing promotion-wise, because businesses are able to really work together a lot more. But I also have to say, if it hasn't been done and there isn't anyone in place to help facilitate that, it doesn't happen. And that's really what a DDA is put in place to help to facilitate. But it's also extremely important for the board to have staff to really support that and help to drive that and find a volunteer network. And that's what I've been working on, is really building that volunteer network of from not only our board members, but also business owners, employees, to residents to be engaged and involved in the process of really revitalizing the downtown, to growing it, to promoting it, and be a part of the fun activities that are out there.
Oh, we got some activity outside of
Rumble. Yeah, a little bit of Rumble. No, it's not Thunder.
All right, now, so what is the your current West Side Development comprised of? I hear volunteers. I hear you at your office in your car. Who is the West Side Development at?
So it is made up. The DDA board is a 11-member board, and it's made up of both business and property owners and residents, as well as then our committee. So with downtown Dearborn, what we have done between East and West DDA is we have created two major committees that are one that's focused on promotions, the other one that is focused on design and economic development. Those committees are then made up of some board members, but also additional people who might not necessarily serve on the board, but are interested in being a part of really helping to facilitate growth for the downtown.
All right.
So we really expand our reaches. And then each committee might even have some subcommittees that work on different projects and programs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for instance, we have Restaurant Week, right, that's coming up in February. Mm-hmm. So there's a subcommittee that's focused just on Restaurant Week.
All right.
And then I also have, you know, we do have staff,
right,
you know, for the West Downtown, there's myself as well as an event manager,
right,
that is part-time. For the East, there is Mike Bewick, who you already mentioned, the executive director, and as well as an administrative associate. And that associate also helps the West DDA as well.
Right. Okay.
And that's where, as we kind of come together under one umbrella, we're still working through what our staffing looks like,
right,
and how do we best function,
okay,
as well. And that's kind of my job, is figuring out how do we, you know, best set up staffing and resources to really support our DDAs.
All right.
And then beyond that, it's, you know, it's really face-to-face, reaching out every day, talking to businesses and residents and organizations,
mm-hmm,
to see where do we align on things, what are, you know, some of our common goals, as well as finding out ways where, you know, so we don't have to overlap, or we don't have to duplicate,
yes,
services or programs or projects, and really just maybe help bolster,
right,
one or another.
Okay, now you mentioned volunteers. What type of volunteers are you looking for at this particular point?
All sorts of types. Call me anytime.
Okay, now. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what number should they reach you at,
yes,
first? Okay.
Oh, yeah. So my phone number, they can call the office at 313-943-3088. That's
okay.
My direct dial number.
Repeat that a little bit slower.
Yep.
Okay.
313-943-3088.
All right.
And you can also email me. And a lot of times, because I am on the road, emailing is sometimes the best, and I can find you that way.
Mm-hmm.
So C, S as in Sam, D as in David, E, C, I, U, S as in Sam, @ ci.dearborn.
Okay.
.mi.us.
All right. And for my listeners, you know that we have a web page, and we have that information on there too. Okay. And I will make sure that someone has to get Christina,
right,
and a picture of us,
yes,
to get.
Yes.
Okay. All
so,
right.
But in terms of volunteerism, you know, we're looking for everything from somebody to help out, mm-hmm, in an event,
mm-hmm,
to folks who could help in actually planning a program.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe planning an event, or we're also working on creating a facade improvement program,
okay,
right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be looking for, you know, people who might be interested in kind of creating that program. What does it look like? Building,
right,
that out.
Right.
Maybe even helping to create outreach for that program as well. We also, you know, could use kind of just some basic everyday kind of data help too. You know, so if you have like an hour or two to spare and you could do some data collection for us, those are all things that we need, because as a DDA, you know, we're always doing metrics. So, and I think in school, you know, you learn about metrics, and
we are in a digital world.
Right, exactly. So, you know, where do you sit on everything? So, but it's important for us to be able to look back and go, okay, this is what we've been able to accomplish.
Right.
And why our organization and the DDAs are so important to downtowns and communities in general.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that you have something coming up in February.
Yep.
Okay. Christina is not aware that there are two impact shows. There's the one for the second Tuesday and then with the fourth Tuesday. And a lot of the things that she's just sharing with us, I'm going to make sure that the impact for the second Tuesday gets this information, because it's right around the time that they'll be airing.
Okay.
And we'll also be on our webpage. So for our listeners, you got a lot of things you need to get in,
yep,
touch with us about.
Okay? Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Weston, do you have for the community, who they want to come in and get a feel of what the authority is about and how they can pitch in, do you have tours or the kind of things like that going on?
We typically do very specific tours with brokers and real estate developers,
mm-hmm,
for economic development in particular. Mm-hmm. However, I am always open for a tour and, okay. and making sure that, you know, we're exposing people to really, you know, what's happening, mm-hmm. And kind of walking them through or even driving them through some of the activities and development that mm-hmm. is occurring. So, you know, that would, again, I would just kind of encourage people to reach out to me and let me know. I'm here, and that's really what I'm here to do, is to expose more people to what is happening, but also to foster more development mm-hmm. as well. And I think through those conversations, whether it's a tour that you provide to like a small business group, right. Or a tour for students, you always take something away from that, right? Mm-hmm. And so do I, because I learned that there might be somebody within that group that has an interest in right. doing a business potentially, or even getting involved in development of a property. Right. Or they might, as you know, as a student, might have a keen interest to kind of learn a little bit more about a DDA, right? And what does it mean to really be a part of something like that? What does it look like? What does that job look like, right?
Oh, okay.
And we do offer internships, and we have partnered a number of times already through internship programs through both the university and the college. And it's a great opportunity to kind of get out there and explore this, but also help us at the same time.
my lady is touching all my little question bases. I love her. I love her. I love her. Okay. Because the internships now, and as, if I'm hearing you correctly, they're open to what different areas? Is that correctly? Or are there specific yes. areas that you really
would? No, I, you know, and because we wear so many hats as a DDA, so when you think about what do we do in general, we work on marketing and promotions of the downtown district.
All right.
We work on business development, business recruitment, property development, design of an improvement of buildings, and you know, potentially facilitating and helping property owners as to, you know, what could this look like and how could we, you know, make this property look better. Mm-hmm. We also, as part of our organization, is really focused on our organization too, and looking at models of management, as well as fundraising right. and community outreach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, also kind of the planning side in terms of ordinances and what types of ordinances might help to facilitate better business environment and climate. So we wear multiple hats, multiple hats, right? So you have to kind of be a jack of all trades, you know, as an executive director.
Yes.
But I think the most important thing is you need to really be able to help facilitate a group of people to help you get to your goals, right? And
okay.
to help them to really, you know, as a community, is to define what are those goals for your community.
Okay.
So as an intern, you could dabble in all of it. You could, you know, and, you know, perhaps maybe you're a photographer or a budding photographer.
Right.
We have the need for photography as well. So, you know, it could be very specific or it could be a lot more general as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
Now, we've done a lot. We really haven't even touched. This is really like the iceberg of what's going on, because when I was looking at your webpage, there was all these different categories. tell us a little bit about Christina.
Sure.
How did she get to Westside Development?
Well, I guess long story short is that I have been in downtown development for, well, now it's probably almost 18 years.
Right.
And prior to Dearborn, I was the DDA director in Ferndale for over 15 years.
All right.
And at that point in time, Dearborn was really looking for somebody to kind of come in and help to kind of spur economic development for our downtowns. I had, you know, the West Downtown for a good number of years had a significant number of vacancies,
right.
And which was due to you know, the recession, as well as some bankruptcy, property development bankruptcies.
And by being a part of the manufacturing core.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. You know, when Ford Motor Company and, you know, the other auto...
reinvented themselves.
Yes. Yeah. You know, so that really, you know, had an overall community-wide impact, mm-hmm. and definitely felt in the downtown. So, you know... The city was, and the boards were really looking for somebody to help to come in and start to turn that ship around.
And the Ferndale is a similar type of boutique community.
Correct, as well as we border Detroit.
Right,
and,
right. All the similar kind mm-hmm. of, I won't say similar concerns, similar mm-hmm. Experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, maybe not in terms of the same size and scale,
right.
But as a downtown that, you know, Ferndale, when I started in Ferndale, we had a 30% vacancy rate there.
Right.
And, you know, reduce that in a matter of a number of years,
right,
to, you know, and eventually by year five we mm-hmm. had gotten down to 1% vacancy
rate.
And really changed the whole climate of the downtown, but through a lot of work from a lot of people as well. And we use the Main Street approach.
Right.
And so looking at Dearborn, that is really what we're
deploying
yes. here is really that Main Street approach, which is grassroots economic development.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, bringing my experience and knowledge, as well as my statewide mm-hmm. knowledge. I serve on the Michigan Downtown Association Board of Directors. I have, you know, trained and presented at, you know, national associations and statewide associations right. on, you know, best practices in downtown economic development. My background is in public relations,
right.
and fundraising, as well as marketing and promotions specifically for events. So I have all that.
And all of this is part of branding.
Yes, absolutely. Yes,
right. How do you determine what the brand is? And because right now West Dearborn and Dearborn the whole is still evolving.
Yeah, yes.
So branding, is that a unique branding challenge to do that, to work with that kind of thing?
It is. Sometimes it's too early to try to do it because mm-hmm. you're still kind of learning a little bit of who you are.
Right.
And you're kind of still finding your way
right.
through that
right.
as well. But we are bringing on a company to help us to facilitate the rebranding.
All right.
And that will be starting this coming year. And really looking forward to it because we've been working towards it for the last couple of years.
Right.
And, you know, over the last 2 years, we've been able to, I think, better hone in on the various aspects that help to make us distinct. But we're still at that point where we haven't quite nailed it yet in terms of, you know, what messages specifically we want to have out there, and what type of imagery helps to represent that the best as well.
It's, you know, it's like a two-edged sword. You have, there's Michigan Avenue, there's Schaefer, there's all these different mm-hmm. It's almost like I said, you're like the cog, you know, little cog in the wheel.
Right.
And you have all these different entities that have their own distinctions, but which is part of the for tourists, that's the attraction part. But then you have the local, that type of thing. Then you have the changing environment because it's no longer, it's manufacturing is going through a growth process.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah, it's.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, and sometimes you have to, you know, you'll see that there's cycles where you have to kind of refresh your brand. And I think right now, what we just don't have in place is we don't have one that really speaks to the whole, right?
Okay.
And then what are the parts of the whole?
And the
that's where the disconnect is, where people don't realize, oh, hey, there are these two different downtown districts. There is also Warren Avenue,
yes.
That stands out as
yeah.
well. And how does that make up Dearborn? Like, they may have only experienced one part of it, and to understand all of it.
Right.
I think that's really important as part of that rebranding process, is to really create that whole package,
mm-hmm.
but then also the individual identities that can stand alone,
mm-hmm.
but also be a part of the whole
all right.
in general. And I think that the other question that you had brought up is really, well, how else do you develop it? It's really about community input.
Right.
And we have, you know, things such as focus groups that we'll do. But we'll also really get out there and kind of test it too.
Right.
And have some more personal conversations,
right.
Maybe specific group
mm-hmm.
conversations. There's also kind of a like a sniff test that you do. You know, you put it together and you kind of show it to a few people, and you know, you understand whether or not it's automatically received, or if there's something that you're just like, no, something's just not quite right yet still, and we need to kind of tweak it. So, and you'll never make everybody happy, right? But I think we have to do our best to get the majority to kind of say, yeah, this is us. This is what we know as Dearborn, and really it's the community, the residents, the businesses that really help to shape and define that.
It's almost like you become a kaleidoscope. You know, it's like,
yeah.
you know, as different kinds of things change, then it's a different flavor, different color. And it looks pretty from the top, but trying to be a part of it and keep. It's like, who shook me this time? All right. And now, again, as I was looking at your webpage, there was all these different transportation, all these different kinds of things. Are you part of that development kind of thing going on? Because transportation is unique.
Yes. So one thing that we did back in, I think it was 2016, is we had a community-wide meeting,
right.
That helped to establish what our real goals would be for the downtowns, for both downtowns.
Right.
And so we can work towards that. One of the big mm-hmm. ones, and mm-hmm. we have five transformational strategies,
mm-hmm.
but one of the big ones is mobility,
right.
and creating a more walkable and bikeable
right.
community.
Mm-hmm.
And this past summer,
right.
We launched our first bike share pilot
right.
with the generous support and help of both this, you know, the city's effort, Beaumont Health's effort, but also through sponsoring partners, the
right.
Kosh family.
Right.
And for those who don't know who the Kosh family is, but they are the family behind Dearborn Sausage.
Okay.
And obviously, you know, big supporters of Dearborn, but also very much supportive of a healthy community. And so finding more ways to make our streets and our sidewalks more walkable, and our streets more bikeable. And that's
right.
really where bikes should be, is
right.
in the streets, because
right.
technically that is a safer location.
Right.
So we are also working with the city on its multimodal planning,
right.
Which will be a community-wide multimodal plan that will look at all modes of transportation,
right.
which will include installing bike lanes on certain roads,
mm-hmm.
Sharrows, which some people might not know what a sharro is, but if you think of what, like a chevron and the little biker image, that's a sharro. It's basically what it means is that you share the road with bikers.
All right.
And as a biker, you share the road with cars.
Right.
So it's knowing that, you know, you have a place on the roadway
mm-hmm.
system. As a downtown, we're making sure that when you get there is that you have a place to park that bike.
All right.
And as a walker is to make sure that you have easy accessibility to get to the places that you're going to, as well as navigating it. So we'll also be looking at ways to improve our wayfinding. As well. And that's kind of part of our mobility, but also part of our image too, in terms of wayfinding. And that's the second biggest one is image.
Okay.
So that's why we're working on the branding. We're working on wayfinding. We'll also be working on facade improvements. So it all starts to kind of come together, and you realize that these five transformational strategies we have really helps us to kind of hone in on the specific things we need to do in order to grow our economy.
Okay. Now you said five transformational strategies. We touched
two.
Okay. And the other three are?
The other three are cohesive community.
All right.
And that's really about pulling us all together, being one, and as a downtown districts, as one downtown Dearborn, and working towards that. And how do we work together? The other two, millennial appeal, and I know that millennials hate the word millennial, but what I'll say is really our next generation appeal.
I love that a whole lot better.
And you know, it's so true though that we need to work on that, because in order for a community to continue to live and thrive, we need to be focused on the
right.
next generation.
Right.
And how are we attracting and appealing to that generation?
Right.
So making sure that there's affordable and diverse housing options available for that next generation. Whether you're a student or a young professional or a young family, or you know, or what have you, but then also activating that next generation in new business startups and being a part of that growing network, and also looking at how does that next generation help us to kind of guide what kind of events we do.
Okay, and there was that data that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's just input and also fostering ideas mm-hmm. as well. And then last but not least is really innovative retail.
Right.
And this is something that I think is a struggle for every city throughout, you know, throughout the state of Michigan and throughout the nation, is really how the retail climate has changed.
Right.
And we have to be more innovative in terms of what we're doing and what we think retail actually is. So our retailers need to create a retail experience. And so we as an organization need to foster innovative retail and look for those who could be brought into the community that create that retail experience.
You brought to mind something that just occurred with Birch Run, which used to be a large retail entity. It was like a boutique. In this digital world,
mm-hmm.
okay, and a lot of people doing things online.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, is that a specific challenge to what you're trying to be about now?
You know, it's definitely a challenge for our businesses. And, you know, as a DDA, we don't have like a collaborative online buying presence, like mm-hmm. an e-commerce presence.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad idea, but how would you do that with, you know, a couple hundred businesses?
Yes.
Would be, you know, a challenge, obviously. So it's really about for us as an organization is how do we help to train or find best resources for our businesses so that they're better online.
Okay.
And can, one, I wouldn't say compete with the big guys, but I would say at least compete for buying presence, right? And that ability, because nowadays people are searching, and granted they might go to the big guys online first, but many people are savvy now that they'll continue searching a lot more until they find really what they want,
right,
as well as the price that they want it at.
Yes Community digital world, is there, and I said, you say you're not really try to compete, but you have to try to, that's part of the branding, that kind of thing. For the community that's trying to, you know, become a part of this, is there an education process that's going on, or a develop, you know, as a part of that development kind of thing, and how do you do that?
Well, and we're starting slowly, but yes, it's really working with our businesses to be a part of kind of our digital platform,
right?
Both on social media and online with our website, improving our web presence too. You'll be seeing over this next year and early in the first quarter, both the East and the West DDA websites will actually become one.
All right.
So you can go to one source online to find information about us, which will be It'll be great. It'll help to kind of streamline things for us on the back end, but really for the end user to really find what they need to find.
All right.
As businesses, though, in terms of our social media platform, it's really about growing our social media and our reach with our social media as well. So the more that we actually work with businesses who are in social media as well, we really help to grow each other. But for those who don't have a presence yet, that's something that we have discussed in our Design and Economic Vitality Committee is, well, how do we maybe help those businesses get online, mm-hmm. to establish a page, start providing educational opportunities as to how to best manage social media. And there are those resources already currently available. And I could think maybe someplace right here, I think.
Yes, okay. I'm thinking, and the volunteers are.
Right. So okay. I think that there's great opportunity to kind of leverage those assets that already exist here and help bring that really to the forefront to our businesses and to those new entrepreneurs who are starting up as well.
Okay.
And the one thing that we have begun discussing is between Henry Ford College, U of M Dearborn, as well as Access, is potentially an incubator program that helps to do some of those things that you're already doing. Helps to expose that a little bit more. But also we will probably through that process find where maybe we're missing something, right? And figure out between all of our entities, how do we fill that gap?
All right. And one of the questions that ran through my mind as we're talking is, what was your media presence? You kind of like touched base on that. The social media is part of that. Yeah. And developing something. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you are in the process of really developing that media arm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And then also, like, even with our events and promotions that we're doing, we're, you know, really expanding more into radio and TV to make sure that we're exposed in those networks a lot more.
All right.
Because we haven't been doing that. And, you know, the more that we can get the word out about what's all here in Dearborn, the better. And quite honestly, it just continues to build customers for life.
Well, I think I've just about drained Christina. But you've been a very, very, informative guest here. And we will continue to be, you know, bring you back on the show and also impact and stuff. So, again, give us the contact information for you.
Absolutely. And thank you again for having me, because I appreciate this opportunity to be able to let people know what it is that we're doing here.
Right.
So, but you can reach me at my office direct line at 313-943-3088.
All right.
As well as then via email, you can email direct at csdecius at ci.dearborn.mi.us. And then follow us on Facebook, Downtown Dearborn, as well as we are on Twitter and Instagram. So check us out there too.
Okay. And remember, they're looking for volunteers. They're looking for entrepreneurs. Okay.
Yep.
And so make sure you contact Christina. Okay.
Great.
Thank you again for being on Impact. All right.
Thank you.
Impact Fourth Tuesday. Every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m., meet people who are about making a difference in your community. Our programs are designed to be a catalyst that helps nonprofits and other community organizations get the word out to you and help them to reach their goals and potential in serving others. Listen to Impact every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m. and see who is making a difference.
WebAdvisor, a program allowing students and staff access to college-related information. Through WebAdvisor, you are able to register for classes, view grades, track financial aid, print class schedules, and much more. Log into WebAdvisor by going to my.hfcc.edu/webadvisor or from the homepage, hfcc.edu.
WHFR is a non-commercial radio station that features multiple music formats and talk variety. Our programming is as diverse as our staff of volunteer DJs because they all curate their own shows. Since WHFR is a non-commercial station, we are able to provide airplay to independent artists, including many who are local to the Detroit area. That means that you get a chance to hear great music that other radio stations won't play. And that is why we are the station that is making waves.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported non-commercial radio.
broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
Guys and dolls, you are at the Malt Shop with Daddy G here on WHFR, and we are going back to the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the Malt Shop, where the jukebox is playing, the kids are dancing, and here we are, back in the 60s.